the house always looks clean. Like, why do we need to re-clean?
Right. You know? We just cleaned like 3 days ago.
If we're having you over to record, like, we don't need to clean the house.
Yeah, I'm not going to judge your wife, dude. She does a good job keeping her keeping your studio clean.
Keeping me in line.
Yeah.
Keeping me in line.
Dude, spring 2024. That's where we're at, right?
Spring 2024. This is Low Expectations episode number 7.
Dude, that's awesome.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You're Anthony.
Now you're getting me all jacked up.
Dude, you're Anthony.
You're Gary.
Yes, and this is Low Expectations, man. This is 7?
Number 7.
Nice, dude.
You said you took German in high school? Say 7 in German.
So Fumpf, sex.
No.
Yeah, it's sex.
Okay.
I think. I might have just said sex, but like I think it is. It's not like sex, S-E-X, but I think it's
right.
Eins, zwei, vier, fünf, sechs.
Look at you, man. Yeah. Wow.
That's all I know. I can't go to 7 now. I can't think of 7 anymore. Dude, that was a long time ago. It's like 20.
When I look 7 back,
years ago?
Yeah, when I look back, I wish I would have taken Spanish.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I wanted to be different, so I took French, which I don't know French. Anything.
S'il vous plaît. Blah, 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 blah. It's like the romantic language, right? Why would you take French, dude? The French we like kicked out. We said French, no.
I don't know.
Your little Eiffel Tower, nobody cares.
I took French.
No, the
and
French
I regret
gave us
it.
The step. Hold on, let me take this thing off.
I regret it. Dude, taking your hand cannon off.
Dude, carrying a gun is sometimes a pain, dude.
It is a pain.
I literally, like, I don't even know why I bring it to your studio, but like, I bring it.
But here's the thing. So
I drop my kid off at soccer and I'm literally like, what if there's an active shooter at the field?
Exactly.
Like, what do I got to do?
You would never forgive yourself.
I would never forgive myself.
It would be very difficult
yeah.
to deal with that and not have your
yeah.
sidearm.
The problems
not
of
have
being,
a gun.
The problems of being crazy.
But it's like locking your door at night. So I had some people reach out to me and they're like, you know, we never locked our door at night when I was a kid and it didn't bother me and
right.
and all this and that.
It didn't cause me a trauma. Like
And how do verses about not fearing, how does that interact with your opinion that all doors should be locked? So, dude. I mean, those are valid questions for sure. For sure, valid questions.
Why fear a tractor trailer coming after you? Why get out of the way? Like, you'll be stopped. Like, really? Is that what we're doing?
My response is yes, we should not do anything out of fear. We should not anything that we do should not be driven out of fear. But at the same time, we're called to be shrewd and wise in our dealings with the world. And so yeah, I don't know. So yeah, I hear that too. It's like background noise. I think maybe it's coming from the unfinished side. It'll stop.
Okay.
It'll stop. No, you know what it is? It's my fan on my computer.
Dude.
Which is super annoying.
It's very annoying.
But maybe it'll...
Maybe it's not coming through the mics. If it's coming through the mics, like, don't get... Like, give us... Like, support us. Give us 5-star reviews. Support us so we can buy a new...
A new computer.
A new computer for the pod.
Why is the fan running? That's weird.
Dude, it must be hot. Dude, we're coming in hot right
now.
We're
coming in hot.
Yo, we got some good topics tonight.
Yo, did I finish my thought? I got
bored, so I moved on.
You moved on. All right. Basically, what I was saying is we're called to be shrewd in our dealings with the world.
Is shrewd the right word?
Wise. Wise, shrewd.
Shrewd.
Yes.
Because shrewd seems like isn't that an animal, like a mole?
No, you're thinking about, I think that's shrew.
Oh, a shrew. Okay.
Yeah.
Dude, English language is hard. It's not easy.
It's very hard for us.
Super hard, bro.
It's really hard for me.
Yeah.
It's not quite as hard for you. Because you help me out a lot. You help me out a lot.
Right.
And after listening to last episode, I was like, man, some of these episodes have some warts on them. They're a little
some
warty.
Warts.
Yeah, they're a little warty. I got some
that's
warts. I'm like, I'm glad Gary, you know, steps into these and helps me out.
Dude, we're raw, man. We're real. Like, you get what you get when you listen to us. That's why I think people like us.
Well, and I think,
Why
they should like us. I think, too, when we're having some of these conversations, we're like working through it as we're talking
We're
about
riffing,
it.
Man.
So
this
it's
isn't
not like,
Yeah, we do show prep because we're professionals.
Yeah.
We're professionals, but like we're working through it. It's not like a, you know, you're not getting this on Fox News if you're a Fox News watcher or CNN. That stuff's all scripted, man.
Right.
Ours is not scripted. This is straight from the mouth.
From the mouth. So, but yeah, I listened to
which probably isn't ideal, but you know, whatever.
I don't know. I listened to the last episode. I was like, geez.
Oh, man.
You know, but that, I think that's with anything. You go back and you listen to yourself and you're like, I could have worded
said that better.
I could have said that better. I could have worded that different. I could have maybe fleshed that thought out a little more. But yeah.
We're in the moments. Like that's what's cool about this podcast.
We're in the moment. So,
yeah.
All right. Yeah. But we do have quite a few things to talk about. The first thing we have to talk about, is what we told our fans we were going to talk about in the last episode. And then we ended up not doing it. And that's the drunk chief in New Jersey. It was at, I can't remember, Bradley Beach. Bradley Beach.
I've never been there.
I've never been there either. But Bradley Beach, New Jersey.
Well, however much he gets paid, I know why I haven't been to Bradley Beach. Was it $200,000 or something like that?
Yeah, this chief gets paid over $200,000 a year.
To be a cop?
To be a chief. I don't know how big the department is.
Yeah.
I didn't do a lot of research into the department.
It's
but
probably not very big.
Probably
Beach
not
town,
super
it's probably
big.
Pretty small.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, you want to set it up or you want me
no,
to set
No, you
up?
Set it up. Right, you're real good at this.
Yeah, not really. So anyways, there's a, what is going on in this house tonight?
Dude, there are so many noises.
There's so many noises coming through these mics. Sounds like they're running the garbage disposal up there.
Do you have a garbage disposal?
Yeah, we do.
Dude, it's probably the upstairs tenant, dude.
Yeah,
that's the
upstairs
problem.
Tenant. So, which is my kids. So anyways, so yeah, Bradley Beach Police Department. It's in New Jersey. A sergeant is at an accident scene. It's a DUI accident scene, or they're investigating it as a DUI accident.
So
a drunk driver accident. And the chief shows up at the scene. He's off duty. He's obviously off duty and he's hammered.
Yeah. He like walks into the scene, right?
Yeah. He walks into the scene.
Yeah.
He comes up to the sergeant and confronts the sergeant about the jacket he's wearing because he feels that the police on the back of his jacket is faded and it's not, you know, he shouldn't be wearing it.
It doesn't
look
professional.
It doesn't look professional. So he tells the sergeant to take his jacket off and the sergeant's already annoyed. So the sergeant's like, okay, chief, he takes the jacket off, crumbles it up, throws it in his car and says, I'm working a DUI crash here, chief. And the chief just stays on him, just like, bup, 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 barking at him and stuff.
But it's like this annoying, like if anybody's ever been around someone who's intoxicated and annoying.
Right.
It's super annoying the way he's talking to him.
Keeps repeating himself, like so saying annoying. The same thing. And
he's like, but Jim. It's so weird.
So he comes up to the sergeant. The sergeant tries to ignore him, go back to the accident scene, take care of the accident, help his officers out. The chief comes into the roadway between the suspect vehicle, or I'm assuming it's a suspect vehicle, and the cop car. And puts his hands on the sergeant. And the sergeant Jackson. The sergeant like literally picks him up.
He's like, come here.
Yeah, come here.
And he like grabs it, like touches his arm, like as if he's gonna like slowly like escort him onto the sidewalk have like, another conversation with him.
And the sergeant loses it.
Yeah,
grabs the chief and slams him on, pushes him back and slams him on the hood of his car and stuff. And so I'm watching this and I'm just like, well, first of all, do you think the sergeant overreacted?
He probably did a little bit, but I don't hate it at all. I mean, you're dealing with an accident. The chief grabbed him. He's obviously intoxicated. I think he even told him, he's like, look, like you shouldn't be here or something. He says something to that effect. Like,
right.
You can't be here. Like, come on. Like you got to go, like get out of the scene. So he's telling him to go away.
He tells the chief, you're interfering with my investigation. Like I'm trying to conduct this investigation. The chief just doesn't let him alone.
Yeah.
So I didn't hate it.
I mean, he didn't slam him hard. He like grabbed him and like,
he pushed him back and kind of threw him onto the hood.
Right.
I didn't have a problem with it. Here's the thing. If the chief was just some regular bloke who's walking down the street Or can you say bloke? Are you allowed to say bloke?
Well, we're not in Australia. Is that what you say in Australia?
I don't know.
The bloke.
All right. He's just, you know, if
the fella.
If the chief was just some regular dude walking down the street,
a drunk
intoxicated.
Guy.
Yeah, a drunk guy, and begins to interfere with officers who are doing an accident, and then comes into the accident scene and
right.
and touches and puts his hands on a officer, that guy's should get arrested.
Should
like
get
he's
arrested.
Interfering with official police investigation.
That's right.
Now, we've gotten away from that a little bit over the years.
Like, we like to do a lot of talking.
We like to do a lot of talking, and you know, you need to leave, you need to go away. But I mean, I remember at the beginning of my career, you touched a cop, you were getting arrested.
Yeah.
Like you were not allowed to, you know, touch a cop, poke a, you know, put your finger in his chest or
it was different if you walked into a bar and someone like touched you. We're not talking
right,
that.
Right.
We're talking like we're having an interaction and this person's trying to move you or trying to do something or poking you. Yeah, you're right.
Right.
Like poking you or something like that.
Yeah.
They're getting cuffed up.
Yeah. You know, and I think they should. So in that sense, I'm like, this sergeant basically treats the chief like he would any other person who's interfering with that investigation.
Right.
And now it's coming out, you know, this chief sounds like a nightmare. I don't even know why this town hired this guy to be the chief. You know, he sounds like a terrible leader.
You're going to put the video in the show notes, right?
Yeah. I'll put the video.
It's worth watching. Like it's hilarious.
Yeah. It's funny.
It's too long, like kind of like fast forward a little bit, but it's pretty funny.
No, it's.
So he like dumps him into this car and then like kind of they separate, but the chief is like barking. He continues to bark at him. And he's like, he at one point tells another officer to take him in.
Right.
Like you're suspended, like you're no longer working. Like you need to go back to the police station. We'll talk, go back to the station. We'll talk. Like,
yeah,
there's all kinds of weird things happening. And
yeah, there's obviously a lot of history there.
Yeah.
Cause when you see the interaction at one point, the sergeant even says to the chief, like, why would you do this to me in front of the guys? Like, why would you act like this? Like, knock it off, you know?
Right.
And so there seems to be some sort of relationship between that sergeant and the chief. And it's obviously there's history there
right.
with this chief and the department, but yeah, I can't imagine working for someone like that.
It'd be tough.
Yeah. I've never worked for someone that, you know, was a supervisor who like was interfering with me at a scene
off duty and intoxicated.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a problem with the sergeant doing it, and neither did that township, that city, whatever,
because
they ended up, I don't know if the chief resigned or if they end up, no, they fired him.
Okay.
I think he lost his job. Chief lost his job. Sergeant's still on the job.
Good.
And so they sided with the sergeant, but it also sounded like there was a whole course of conduct there with the chief that even like the prosecutor's office was looking at. And they're like, okay, we're done with you, chief. Like you need to go. So,
which makes sense because like, if this is the first time that he does something like that, like I get it. Like it's a mistake and you kind of, you know, you slap him around a little bit or whatever. And you slap the chief around a little bit and put him in his place and maybe move on. Maybe.
Yeah.
It's different if it's a chief of police versus like a, you know, a patrolman who like tries to interfere in a, I don't know. Like,
so you think if it was just like his first, if it was just the chief's first offense, you don't necessarily fire him?
I think if it's a chief, you do.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying.
I think you probably do.
You're saying the difference would be between a chief and just like a patrol officer that.
Yeah.
A guy first offense.
First offense makes he's an idiot.
Being an idiot.
Yeah. He needs to learn how to. But if you're a chief, man,
you know better.
You
should definitely know better. I mean, I'm a firm believer that in every level of rank you climb, your character integrity should be just more and more above board.
Yeah.
Not that your character integrity should not be high as just a police officer, but if you're climbing rank, like
your expectations of your behavior are higher.
Yes, that would be a good way for you to put it. Yes, for you to put it and for me to agree with.
Dude, I love that. Yeah, that's a funny one. That's a funny video. So we finally talked about it.
Yeah, we finally talked about it. It was just something we had wanted to touch on and we didn't touch on it the last time.
Yeah, don't interfere with an officer trying to do their job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if you're a chief, man, back down.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, do not interfere.
Get your little drunk legs home. How about that?
Yeah. And no one should be interfering with a police officer while they're in course of their duties. Are you using this?
No, do you need it?
Yeah. See, I'm not.
Oh, dude. Good thing I bring some leather products here so we can get rid of this noise.
It's a great. Well, I'm just trying to put a little gap here underneath this computer so this fan shuts off.
Dude, use my burner, man.
Sometimes the fan on it runs, but I've never had it run, you know, while we're recording. So
this is great radio right here,
super
dude.
Super annoying.
This is great radio. Absolutely phenomenal.
Low expectations. So what do you want to talk about next? Do you want to talk about the El Paso officer involved shooting, or do you want to talk about the Chicago officer who's suing the department?
I want to talk about both of them. But first of all, let me ask you this. If you're invited to a wedding.
Oh boy.
All right. You're invited to a wedding and on your invitation, it says, would you please indulge us and wear, I don't know, like don't wear green. We want you to wear like, we just want you to wear black. Like we want everybody to wear black because the bride.
Black to a wedding?
Exactly. Because the bride and the bridal, like people want to wear like, I don't know, red or some other color. And we want to stand out. Would you please indulge us? Like, what would you do with that? Like, what do you think about that? Because apparently this is like the new trend.
The new trend is people requesting what
you wear or what you don't wear.
Okay.
So they're inviting you to their wedding.
Okay.
But they want you to wear a certain type of like, I don't know, color palette. And they give you like choices. Maybe they didn't give you choices. Like, would you be annoyed or would you just be
yes,
like,
okay. I would be annoyed.
I wouldn't go.
Well, I guess it would come down to, I mean, there's so many things involved in this decision. Like, how well do you know the people? Like, who are these people to you?
Say it's my wedding.
Your wedding?
I say, Anthony, listen, my wife and I really want to, we're like renewing our vows. We want to take really cool pictures and we want to have a fall like palette, like color palette. Is that the right word? So like we want like fall type colors. We want like browns and
I
like
would make fun of
mustardy.
You a lot. Yeah. I would not make fun of Crit.
Like, would you go out and buy a separate suit or like outfit to come to my like wedding vow renewals?
I don't know, man. I feel like here's the thing. I feel like I don't know people like this. Do you ever feel like some of these story, like I think I saw this headline somewhere.
Yeah.
And I just don't even bother with it because I'm like, I don't think I know people like this.
We're not in that crowd, I don't think. We wouldn't fit in. Like people like that wouldn't want to be friends of ours.
Right. I feel like that's a very
pretentious
and rich person thing to do.
Ooh, rich.
Yeah.
Or like wannabe rich.
Yeah. I don't know. I would never think about asking or advising people that I was inviting to something
to celebrate with you,
to celebrate with me, that to order them or ask them to dress or look a certain way.
Super weird.
It is really weird.
Even like police balls, when they say like, you have to, like, we want you to wear your like dress uniform. I'm like, I don't want to wear my dress uniform. Can I just wear a suit? Like, why do I have to wear this?
But that, I even feel like that's a little different. It's like a company. It's basically like a company event
or
I just
agency don't
like event.
I think mostly because I don't like to be told what to do.
You don't.
I don't like to be told what to do.
You can be a little ardent when you're like.
Ardent?
Yeah. Did I use that word correctly?
I don't even know what that word means, but I like it.
You know, when people tell you something or give you.
Directions.
Basically, anytime I do that, you just yell at me.
Yeah, I'll
so,
be super
I mean,
annoyed.
Where did you land on this?
I wouldn't go, or I would.
You
just,
wouldn't go,
or I would go and do the complete opposite of what they asked. I'd be like,
right.
"What?
Yeah."
And then if they said, "Like, well, you can't come," I'd take my present and leave.
You can't. You can't be in any of the pictures, Gary.
Yeah, you can't be in anything. Okay, great. You hurt my feelings. Yeah, yeah. Oh man,
I don't know.
Dude, we were taking Easter photos, as a family, and I took this real funny one because like. We went to it, like it was just us. So there was nobody else around to take our picture. And I did like a selfie. Like, I guess it would be an Aussie, right? You and I have a thing.
Yep.
And it's me like taking a selfie of myself with my family in the background. And it looks like such old manness. old man-ish, you know what I mean? Because like my family's in the background smiling all cute and you see my like ugly face in like the front of it. It's so funny. My daughter loved it. She sent it to like all of her friends and they were cracking up.
She thought it was great.
Yeah, they were cracking up.
Yeah, here's my thing. Whenever I say stuff like this, I'm like, how many more things can I say to, you know, distance myself from humanity? I can't. One thing that I don't understand the whole social media must put my family holiday events on Facebook.
You're doing it.
And
you're going there. I love
it. It's not even, you know, I don't, it's not like I think there's anything wrong with it. It's just, we don't put any pictures on social media. So I wonder sometimes if all our friends who do put all their pictures up on social media are like, are Anthony and his family okay?
Yeah,
like,
they need counseling or something.
Do they like each other? Do they, like, we put nothing on social media. And it's just so interesting to me because I'm looking at all these pictures and I'm having all these like judgy thoughts. And I'm like, I'm wondering if the people are looking at our social media feed and judging us for not
putting it out there. Yeah. It's so silly, man. I love it. Yeah. Why do we do this to ourselves? I don't like that the pictures have to be perfect.
Mm.
Like that drives me nuts.
Yes.
Like when I see pictures, I'm like, man, those are beautiful pictures, but every picture is gorgeous. And
right.
Just like everything's filtered and like.
Well, and also I think it helps what, you know, I'm operating on an iPhone 7. So you aren't taking any good photos with an iPhone
7.
Right,
right. You can barely store 3 photos on the thing, right?
Yeah. It's like, you know, today I'm using it. It just, the screen goes black. And it's not off because my home button is still working, but it's like completely black. So I try like, you know, turning it off. It doesn't turn off. I'm like, this thing might have finally died. So then I plug it in and then it lights up again and starts working. I'm like, perfect. I get another 3 months out of this thing.
Right.
But yeah, the iPhone 7, like I've seen, what are they up to now?
I don't know.
15? The iPhone 15 or something, 14 or something?
I think it's 15.
So I've seen people take photos on the new iPhones. And I'm like, holy cow. Yeah.
It didn't make you and I look good, dude.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. And then all the different filters and everything. But yeah, I take a photo with my iPhone 7 and someone's like, what are you operating in 1962? You know,
it's a flip phone.
You know, I fantasize about that. I fantasize about going to like a flip phone. But the only reason.
Fantasize probably isn't the right word for that.
No, I do. I sit and I'll like actually like think about it and think about how awesome it would be. But then I realize the only thing that keeps me from doing it is how much like legitimate work I can get done on a smartphone.
Especially
like
for this
email,
podcast.
Email. Yeah, like podcast stuff. Email, personal and work email. Right. So I know I shouldn't be doing my work email on my own time, but I do all the time. Like it, like I'm doing it. Like if I have downtime, I'm getting stuff done.
Yeah, makes you more productive.
Yeah, but man, I do, maybe fantasize isn't the right word, but I do think about it. I'm like, man, what would that be like to have a flip phone? Like literally the only thing I can do is make a phone call with it.
Right.
Texting, even texting. I used to text. Do you remember that texting on a flip phone?
Yeah, that was hard. It was difficult. You had to push like the same number like 4 times to get the M.
Yeah.
Well, M was the first time. Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah.
We're old, dude.
I don't know.
All right. What are we doing? Dude, that was
we're making enemies.
That was not good.
What?
That was not good.
Why wasn't it good?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about? El Paso? Let's do the El Paso one.
Okay.
Whoa!
Hey Gary, we got a sponsor.
Dude, everybody loves a sponsor.
Everybody loves a sponsor. Manny Luciano is a rep for Ethical Energy Solar. If you're interested in solar energy, you can contact him at 717-989-5841 or at manny.luciano@ethicalenergysolar.com.
Dude, everybody loves the sun.
Everybody loves the sun. You don't even have to love the trees to get solar. Solar can help everyone.
Yeah. Everybody loves a song.
And here's the thing. Manny's a retired cop. He's a veteran. He's been a past guest on the OG podcast, The Akinas of Cops Calling. He'll give you a professional presentation of what solar can do for you, how much money it can save you, and he will do it without the high-pressure tactics. So tell him you heard this ad on Low Expectations, and you can even save more money. In addition to saving money on your power bills, increasing your home value, earning state and federal incentives, you can get 1 month off your bill if you tell them you heard this ad on Low Expectations Podcast.
Dude, that's great. Saving money. Everybody likes to save money. Everybody likes the sun. Most people like trees. Like, we're good to go, man.
This good to go.
This is a great thing.
Here's the thing. I know that CrossFit athletes and Travis the chimpanzee, if he was still with us, would think about going solar.
So, absolutely.
So should you. Yeah. So should you.
Hit up Manny.
Yeah, there's no upfront cost. There's zero down to go solar with Manny at Ethical Energy Solar. You can call him at 717-989-5841 or email him at manny.luciano@ethicalenergysolar.com to see what solar can do for you. Tell him that you heard this ad on Low Expectations Podcast, and you can even save more off your first month.
Whoa!
All right.
So this is pretty recent. This is what, early March?
Yeah, I think so. Early March, end of February, El Paso police officer sees a Mustang at like a car wash. It's obviously nighttime hours. I don't know what time it was, with the hood up. And, you know, I don't know if he knows if anyone's in the car, because it's like extremely tinted. It's like limo tint. You can't see
into it. You can't see into it, right?
In fact, when he goes up to the car, he actually moves to the front of the car and shines his flashlight in the windshield to see if anyone's even in it. That's how dark the tent is. So there's a guy sending a younger guy. And the officer...
When you say younger, he's 30, but you know, whatever.
Is he 30?
Yeah, he's 30.
Well, that is younger than me.
So. I know.
So a 30-year-old, he's sitting in the car, makes contact with him. The guy claims he's having some sort of car problems, car trouble.
He's real frustrated.
Can't find his ID, digging all over the car, can't find his ID, gives his name to the officer. And at some point, the officer asks him to step out of the car. I don't know what the officer saw, or, you know, here's one of the issues I have with body cams. You can't see, like, when you watch a body cam, you cannot see everything on a body cam.
Yes.
Because where the officer's standing, he's standing behind, what is that, the B pillar or whatever they call it, of the car. And, or the A, what's it, people call the A pillar.
I'm not
B-pillar.
A real cop. In it.
You know, he's standing behind the driver's door. And so his angle, you can't see all of the suspect. You can only see part of the suspect.
And his body cam's on his chest, which is where most people have it. It's like in the center of their chest, and they're still 2 feet above that is where your eyes are. So, like,
correct.
Yeah.
So he's able to look down in the car. The body cam is more looking directly into the car. But regardless, for some reason, this officer asks him to step out of the car, which in Pennsylvania, and most states, that is a legal request. Like, if you're on a traffic stop, you can request someone to step out of the car. That's a completely legal request, and officers are allowed to direct people out of cars on stops or whatever. This wasn't even a stop. I think this was more like a check on the welfare thing or something. But anyways, officer asks him to step out of the car, and at that point, it just goes downhill from there. Because guy tells him, you know, no, I'm not stepping out of the car. And then he starts telling him stuff like, or the officer sees that his hand is hidden and asks him what is in his hand. And the suspect actually tells him it's a gun.
Yeah. So this would be his right hand. You can't see in the body camera what's in his right hand.
Yeah.
Because of where he's sitting.
Right.
Yeah.
And the officer can't see it either, because the officer keeps asking him, you know, what's in your hand? He tells him it's a gun. And then he starts saying stuff to the officer like, do you want to go home?
Yep.
You need to back up, or you need to get back up. I couldn't quite understand if he said you need to back up or you need to get back up. You picked the wrong day to come to work. Those are the types of statements the suspect is making to the officer. So
the officer's saying, like, relax, man, just relax.
Yeah, just calm down.
Calm down.
Let me see your hand. You know,
what's
in your hand?
He says that repeatedly.
Yeah. And it keeps giving him directions and stuff. And then at some point in this interaction, I don't know what causes the officer to finally, you know, drop the hammer on this guy, but the officer gets to a point where he he ends up shooting the suspect. Yeah,
so he pulls the gun pretty early. So when he tells him to step out,
right,
he tells the suspect, we'll call him suspect, to step out of the car, and he says no. And he says, "What's in your hand?" He says, "A gun." And the officer pulls his gun.
Yeah.
And he holds it in like, what do some people call it? The safety circle or whatever.
Yeah, he kind of has it like, you know, low ready.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
So it's out of the holster. He's kind of got his hands on it. He's got one hand on a flashlight. He's trying to see or just keep this guy lit up.
Right. Right. And so there's this kind of standoff.
Doesn't take long. It's probably 15 seconds.
No, it's a little longer than that, where the suspect is saying stuff like, you need backup. You shouldn't have came to work. Or you need
backup.
Today.
Go back to your car.
Yeah, I think he says back that. To your car.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have came to work. You know, do you want to go home? You know, at the end of your shift, that type of stuff is being said by the suspect. And so at some point, again, I watched the body cam a couple times. I can't tell if there was a movement by the suspect or what caused the officer to finally, you know, make the decision. And he fires several rounds and kills a suspect.
Yeah.
So of course, you know, there hasn't been a lot of, I haven't seen a lot of pushback about it, but the families come out and said the officer didn't give him a chance.
And the suspect had mental health, and the officer should have known he had mental health and should have dealt with him differently.
Yeah. And should have had, you know, more mental health training and dealt with him as a mental health subject. I mean, there's no way this officer had any idea who...
I couldn't tell that he had mental health. When I read that article about the family saying that he had mental health, I was like, oh, I didn't know that he had mental health. You couldn't tell he had mental health during that interaction.
No, during the interaction, you couldn't tell. I mean, the only way you would have known that he had mental health problems is if the officer knew who he was, which it didn't appear at all that he did.
Or if the guy said, I have mental health problems.
Right, yeah. Right. So
this guy wound up dying, right?
The suspect ended up dying.
He called for EMS. He called for fire. Right. He called for backup. By the time people got there and they went up to the car, I mean, he was deceased at the scene.
Right. And so the investigation, I haven't been able to find yet if he actually did have a gun, if the suspect had a gun.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot out there yet.
Yeah. So they released, you know, body cam, but they haven't released yet if the suspect actually had a gun or if there was a gun in the car. So I guess my question to you, Gary, would be, do you think, I mean, we use the terminology good shoot. I'm not a huge fan of saying good shoot because I don't know. Just as a believer, like a image bearer of God died, but do you believe it was a justified shooting?
So we talked about this, we don't know enough facts yet.
Okay. Let me rephrase the question.
Okay. We don't have enough facts. Like we don't know if there's a gun in the car. Did he say he saw a gun? Like, okay. I don't know anything. Like if he didn't see a gun, like there's no reason to shoot that guy. If he did not see a gun.
Okay.
I don't know that there's a reason for him to shoot that guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I disagree with you.
Now, if he made movements as if he did have a gun, sure, but you don't see it in a body cam. So, right. Like, I don't know what he's said that happened.
So what is an officer in that situation supposed to do?
So, based on what we know...
Okay.
This is where...
Everything we talk about right now, based on what we know right now.
Yeah.
Clearly, not everything has come out, but just watching the video, knowing what we know about the case, not knowing if there's actually a gun in the car or not. Yeah.
So my thing's this, like, I don't see a movement of his right hand. You can't see it on the body camera.
You can't
see it.
Correct.
So I don't know what this officer who shot saw because that hasn't come out yet. If he says, or if he saw him pull up his right arm as if he was going to shoot him, it's a justified shooting.
Even if he doesn't have a gun?
Yes.
Okay. So you don't think if there was no movement by the suspect, you don't think it would be a justified shooting?
I think there's other options at that point. That doesn't mean it's not justified. I think maybe it could have been done differently.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm getting at is something that we've talked about before, justified versus, you know, I think
it could be justified. If he didn't have a gun, it could still be justified.
Yes.
If he made a movement and didn't have a gun, I think it could still be justified.
I personally think it could be justified even if he didn't make a movement.
Okay.
I think it could be a justified shoot. And the reason I say that is because you know, you have a suspect who is telling you things that he, like, you don't have very many options in this situation. Your option is either to deal with it right there or like go away.
I mean, you can retreat. You don't have to.
Correct.
You could retreat.
You could retreat.
It makes it a little more dangerous because you can't see in that car.
Right. I think so I was just trying to think through it as an officer. Like, okay, you're up at the car. You have that ground. You have visibility of the suspect in the car. If you retreat to position of cover or whatever, you lose everything. You can't see into that car at all. You have no idea what the suspect is doing. You give an even greater advantage to the suspect, in my opinion.
Sure.
You're already behind the eight ball because regardless of whether or not you have your gun out as an officer, you're already behind the eight ball because your reaction will never beat the action of a bad guy.
I agree with you.
And they've done scientific studies for science type
science.
Stuff. Yeah, science. They've done scientific studies about this and have shown that even officers who have their gun out in the low ready position, a suspect can retrieve and fire a gun before that officer's brain makes the decision to fire back.
For sure.
And so it's an extremely dangerous situation for the officer. It's a no-win situation for the officer.
I agree.
Like if you retreat, you lose all visual contact with the suspect. You have no idea what he's doing. You have no idea what he's capable of. And so if the suspect does something completely irrational, like, hey, maybe his car actually does work and he just starts it up and he has the hood up and he guns it into the roadway that is running in front of them, you can see traffic passing.
Yeah.
You know, if he just does that, if that gives him time to prepare an arsenal in his car and you can't see what he's doing, the officer is also by himself.
Yep.
I think that's important to note. This officer has no cover with him at this point. It's a no-win situation. And so like when I watched the video, I mean, I personally, based on just what I saw, I think it's a justified shoot. I realize that there's other officers out there who may not make that decision in that moment, you know, but I think it's a justified shoot because we've also been trained that when a suspect is telling you things, believe what they're telling you.
Right.
In regards to threats and stuff like that, like things like, I'm not going back to jail. You're not taking me with you.
Right.
But this guy is literally saying, I have a gun. Do you want to go home?
You shouldn't have come to work today.
He's making these statements. Like what decision, like, should you be coming to based on what he's telling you and the fact that you can't see his hand? He may not have a gun.
Right.
But are you going to stake your life on that 50-50 decision? Like, I don't think he has a gun. And then boom, all of a sudden he does have a gun. And all he has to do is get one shot off at you. And that shot could be
the lucky one.
The lucky one. Or that shot could be the one that puts you on your butt and gives him a chance to get the upper hand in a gunfight.
Right.
Is it reasonable for that officer to believe that his life was in danger?
It is.
I think it is.
It is.
I think it is.
It is.
And that he was in fear of bodily, great bodily harm and death. I mean, I do. I think he was. But it's not clean. These things rarely are clean. Yeah. And we've talked about that too.
Yeah. I mean, I do think he sees a gun. And I think there's a gun in the car because the family's not saying he didn't have a gun. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Like, I think he saw the gun because the officer gets the flashlight out. So he has a flashlight in his left hand.
Right.
The officer already has his firearm out in his right hand, kind of in this like low ready type. It's a good position, I think.
Correct.
And he uses the light. He's still talking to him. Then he puts his light away and goes two hands on his firearm. And I think that's when he makes the decision. He's like, I gotta take care of this. I can't get killed.
I think based on some of the statements the family made too, like I do think there was probably a gun in that car.
As if the police told them we found the gun in
the car. They're not releasing it to the public yet.
Right.
But yeah,
it's a tough one.
Because it's a tough one.
It's a good video to watch and kind of break down because you don't see the movement in the video. I couldn't see.
No, I couldn't see any movement.
And they didn't, like a lot of times police departments will break down an incident and then they'll slow it down frame by frame and actually show you something.
Right.
They didn't do that with this one.
Right.
Which makes me believe that maybe he didn't make a movement.
Right.
Like a movement that caused the officer to react.
Yeah.
So it might be that situation where there was no movement. He did see a gun and
he was just made that decision.
He chose that I can't take the risk of getting shot.
Right.
Or letting somebody else get hurt.
Yeah.
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 It's wild. I mean, it's sad. I mean, and in reality, once again, the officer did not make this happen. He had enough. He's doing his job. He's checking on this person who's the hood's up. He's in a car, you know, whatever. He's trying to help the guy out. And next thing you know, there's somebody saying, I'm going to hurt you.
Right. Making
like,
threat.
What is the officer supposed to do? You're the lawman. Like,
right.
That's your, you know, you can't do that to.
You can't just get in your car and go away. You can maybe retreat to a position of cover. But again, man, I always think it's really tough to give up ground you have.
I know.
Sometimes it is the right call.
And right. Maybe, like if you're in a house, like sometimes it's better to back out.
Right. Right. And maybe that would have, you know, bought him some time here, you know, or maybe it would have made it worse.
And in reality, you're not, as he's retreating, he can't see what he's doing anymore. So literally, as soon as you start moving backwards, you lose sight because of where he was at that, what'd you call it, a B pillar?
Yeah. I think they call it the B pillar in the car.
Right behind the driver's side door with the door open. That's where he was. So,
right.
Yeah. I mean, you back up. As soon as you take two steps back, you're not seeing him any longer. And then you really don't have. You don't have any vantage point.
Right.
He doesn't have to stick his body out. He can just stick his firearm out and mm-hmm. start shooting. You're done.
Right. Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah. It's a no-win situation. And I think officers now, when they're in a situation like that, it's why it's so important to, you know, look at videos like this, think about what you would do in those situations. And run those scenarios in your mind. Be confident in when you're justified in any level of force in that situation, and working through it now so that in the moment you're not kind of stuck in this loop of, you know, not knowing what you're going to do and trying to figure it out in the moment.
And I would say this. If you're younger, I mean, it was a sergeant, but with not a whole lot of time on.
Okay.
Who was involved in this shooting. Not a whole, I think 11 years or something like that. And that's a long time. Here's what I would say. Not everybody's a good talker. I like talking, obviously.
Right.
Right? I like talking, but you have to be a good communicator or just be good at talking without really thinking about what you're saying, because that keeps people's mind, like this, and this isn't a dig. This not a dig on this sergeant. He did what he felt was the right thing to do. This is not a dig, but like he kind of got stuck. He got a little bit stuck in like, okay, man, just relax. I'm going to go back to my car. Like, you're not going back to your car. Talk to him about something else. Bring something else up.
Right.
You know, that's not easy to, I'm not saying that's easy, especially in that moment, especially if you saw a gun, it's not easy to do, but that's why you have to practice talking.
Yeah. And I,
it's not a dig. I'm not digging on this guy. Right. I think don't take it that way. I'm just saying like this could help somebody out in the future. And I love talking to people because I think like the way I can, when I'm on the street now and talking to somebody, I do a way better job of like de-escalating, which is like the new word, but I'm way better at it now than I ever was. And I really haven't taken any training. It's just over time, I've gotten better at talking, getting people's mind off things that they're thinking about or whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe this guy wasn't going to do anything but shoot this officer. That could have happened. Practice talking.
No, I think you make a good point. And I think, you know, when I look back over my career, I've gotten better at talking, but I still, it's not a strong suit I have. And so when I see a situation like this, I think violence of action is your best bet.
Yeah.
Like I don't think in that moment, faced with the decisions you're being faced with, and I'm not saying that you're wrong. I think this is where two different officers might do two different
things. You have to know your strengths and weaknesses.
Right. My weakness in a situation like that would be I'm not talking. The things I am saying are extremely aggressive.
Yeah.
Like, I will kill you. Like, I'm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you move your, if you do not drop that gun, I will kill you. Where I might say, hey man, who do you live with?
Yeah.
See, I might say, hey, how much gas do you have in a car? I might say something crazy.
Right.
Like, hey, when was the last time you looked at porn? Like, that's literally what I would say.
Just stuff.
I would just random, like, because I can spit stuff out. Knowing, like,
you're good. You're there.
Because I've done that so much, I can say that and then put three rounds in you and not think twice about it.
Right. Because you're there in your head, but you're able to, like, work through it. And I think I am.
I don't know. I mean, I want to believe that about myself.
No, I think you're probably right. I mean, I've operated with you enough to know that you probably are right and you probably could do that. I think I would go full, you know, very super aggressive.
Super dominant.
Like super dominant.
Yeah. This officer was neither of those.
Yeah, he was working through it in his mind.
Yeah.
Like you could tell.
He was in the middle of both of us. He wasn't extremely, like, he wasn't like yelling and screaming at this guy or saying, I will kill you if you do not drop that gun. Like, I will shoot you. It wasn't any of that. It was just like, okay, man, relax. Like, it wasn't like a great command presence. Again, not a dig. It just wasn't.
I think he was trying to, like, talk the guy down. De-escalate, in a way.
Which I don't know.
But I think this is where we find ourselves right now,
because
in police work, because of, you know,
the push, the cops just want to kill people.
Yes. Yeah. And so you add to that, and I don't know what race this officer was, but the bad guy, the suspect, looked like he was Spanish. I think he was Spanish.
Hispanic. His name sounded Hispanic.
Yeah. And so if you don't think right now cops in the US are distinctly aware of dealing with a suspect of another race, you're wrong.
Yeah.
It is absolutely in their heads every time they're dealing with someone of another race.
Yeah.
I should say every time a white officer is dealing with someone of another race. I don't think that pressure is as big or as difficult for a Hispanic officer or an African American officer. I don't think the pressure is as much for them, but a white officer dealing with a black or a Hispanic suspect, especially, that pressure is immense when it starts going towards use of force.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to ask a couple guys and we'll talk about this again, cuz I'm going to talk to a couple guys about that, cuz I don't know that if that's true or not.
Well, and yeah, I could definitely be talking out of turn there.
That's all right. I mean, maybe it is true. I'd like to talk to a couple guys. You're guessing. I'm hoping.
I'm assuming that. You know, someone, you know, a black officer would not feel the same pressure with a black suspect that a white officer would feel with a black suspect.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like, you know,
that's probably true.
Mental, like, you know, pressure there with the way our culture is. But, you know, as officers are in these situations, they are thinking about these things, and, you know, they don't want to be judged by the entire country.
Yeah, it's wild because
they want to go home too.
Yeah. Like, I look at my career and I, like, there's not a time I thought of race other than, like, to describe somebody. Like, I mean, it's just not a thing. But yeah,
you were looking for criminal activity.
Yeah, it's so wild. Or, like, if you're describing somebody, like, hey, the black guy took off running this way after a robbery. Like, okay, we called out. Like, but I'm not thinking, like, I never thought like that.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I didn't either until, like, the, you know, until the end of my career.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's just, it shouldn't be like that. It should still be, you know, content of character type decisions. It should have nothing to do with, you know, race, but.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, that's our reality.
And cops got to be better. Like, you have to be better now. And I think that's not a bad thing.
What do you mean by that? They have to be better.
Well, we have to adapt to the time. So you have to be better. You have to be better at communicating what you want somebody to do. You have to be all of the things of policing. We're bettering ourselves as police officers, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think we should always be looking, whatever profession you're in, you should always be looking to better yourself.
Sure.
I think my pushback to that is that the pressure is always on the police to do better. There's no pressure on the criminal element to do better or to be held accountable.
Yeah, but you can't control that. You can control what you do as a police officer.
But I can't control what a bad guy does.
No. Well, you can react to it.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. So all the pressure, so you're taking all the pressure of those interactions and you're putting on the police officer that they have to do better, but there's absolutely zero pressure on the criminal element.
I agree with you. I'm just saying we got to be better. Like, that's okay. Like, you have to talk to people better, make it look better. You have to.
No,
that doesn't mean you do anything differently.
I get you, whatever that means.
And we should.
I think
why shouldn't we?
No, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do our jobs better. I'm saying if we're doing our job to the best of our ability 10 years ago, but now today, it need to do the job to the best of our ability, it needs to be completely different and you can't do it the same way. Like, I don't, there's a disconnect there for me.
I don't know, dude. I think de-escalation, as much as like it makes us better cops. It does.
But de-escalation, I think, has been completely, you know, taken out of context and made into this like soft, you know, warm and fuzzy word. De-escalation can be dropping lead into someone. That's de-escalation.
I agree with you, Anthony.
Okay.
I agree with you. I'm just saying, like, there are techniques that they're teaching now that we've never learned about 20 years ago.
Yes.
And that's making you a better police officer. In my opinion, it is.
Is it making me a better police officer or is it making me a better target? Like, can you give me an example of...
Yeah. I'm not a real cop anymore, man. I don't do real policing.
I think you have
more tools on your tool belt is what I'm saying. You have more tools because, like, you have different language to use. You have different, like...
Get more tools on my tool belt.
Yeah, man.
Like what?
Like talking. Like saying things in a different way.
But I think what I'm missing you on is that certain people, it doesn't matter how you talk to certain people. When you have a no person, you can say whatever you want to that person. They are not going to comply with words.
I agree with you. But when you're saying those words before you drop lead into them, there's not going to be a question like it was.
But I think that's part of the problem right now is because we're making our officers so afraid to use force. We're beating into their heads. You have to do A, B, C, de-escalate before you do.
Anthony, nobody's saying that though, dude. If you have to drop the trigger, drop the trigger. If you have an opportunity to do something other than drop the trigger or use force, don't.
But that's not true.
I don't know what to tell you.
That's not true right now. That's not true. If you don't do certain things, you get crucified for it. If you do certain things and still end up doing the same thing you would have done way back 1 minute earlier, you're getting crucified either way. You're
in some instances, yes. I agree with you.
Okay.
In some instances.
All right. I mean, I think this is a valid conversation. I'm just passionate about it because
here's a little secret for our listeners. This is my technique to make the podcast really good. I probably agree with you more than it's probably coming across.
Right.
But like, I got to push back a little bit or we're both saying the same stupid thing that nobody cares about.
No, I understand what you're saying. I just think that the culture right now in police work is getting cops injured, hurt, killed because all of them are deathly. I shouldn't say all of them. I have this habit of overgeneralizing. A lot of officers are afraid to use force.
Yeah,
because of the environment they're operating in. You know,
they're not going to get involved in a situation where they might have to use
where force, they might have
right?
to.
They're use driving force. By stuff. Yeah, or they're not going to calls. They're doing whatever
and
to
that
avoid.
Is absolutely happening. Absolutely. 100%.
I agree with you.
100%.
And the reason that's happening is because exactly what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. Because officers are afraid of using force.
As
justified
they should be
force.
Because they want to go home and take care of their goal, a goal of a police officer. It is it's a duty. It's a calling. It's all the things that you and I love. And oh yeah, hoorah! You know, we're cops. But like, we're paying the bills. We're trying to take care of our families. And some of us, this is probably all we could do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, or we do something else that might not be fulfilling. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, I look at a video like this, and I'm like, man, that officer, that is a no-win situation.
Yep.
No-win situation. It doesn't matter what he does. He will be second-guessed and just judged for his decisions. And yes, body cams are nice, but I think body cams have not helped the profession either. It gives people an opportunity to judge every little thing an officer does.
It's that, or they're just going to judge their word.
Right. And that's the other side of it. In some ways, I do think it's helped. It's definitely cut down on the amount of complaints.
For sure.
Like false complaints against officers. I mean, you have a body cam and that can be brought in and be
go watch us.
That's absolutely. Now, what I think should start happening
is people get charged.
People get charged with false reports. That's what I think should start happening.
Or like a lawsuit, again, defamation of character or something like that. Yeah.
But we don't have the guts to do it in the profession. And
we don't have the funds to do it either. Like defamation lawsuits.
Oh yeah. Like I get it. Defamation law, but you should be dropped. Like, I don't know. I think you come in and you make a false complaint against an officer. You sign a complaint, you make a false complaint against an officer and they pull the video up and it shows absolutely completely opposite of what you said. You should be arrested.
I agree.
Like 100%.
I'm not going to push back on that, Anthony. Yeah.
All right.
I agree with you. Yeah. This will be interesting. Let's see how this plan plays out. See if they give more coverage to it a little bit, just when they release the investigation, if they do.
I mean, I hope for the officer's sake, there was a gun in the car.
There's a gun in the car, dude. The family would be freaking out.
Yeah.
That's why the family said it's mental health versus, I mean,
he was unarmed. Yeah. 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 I think I tend to believe you're right.
But that's a guess. Yeah. Just based on their
statements. Based on our professional experience.
Oh, we're so smart. Yeah. Geniuses.
Yeah. So,
dude, I went, do you see my face? Like my head?
Yeah. I was going to ask you about it. It's like red. Yeah. Except for the top of your head.
It's spring, right? But it was like 40 degrees the other day. And I was at like a baseball tournament. So we had two baseball games. It was like one was at 11 and one was at 1:30. So I was outside for like 4 hours.
Okay.
And I had a beanie on and sunglasses because it was cold and windy. But like, I didn't think it's the spring sun. Like it might be, right. I might get like sunburn. I got burned and it looked ridiculous, dude. The tournament was on a Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I look like an idiot. Oh my goodness, dude. It's finally getting better, but like it's going to start peeling now. So then the next day, Saturday, it was a Friday tournament. Saturday, I took my hat off. It warmed up a little bit and I was hoping to burn the rest of my bald head. So it would kind of like blend in, but it didn't work.
It didn't work.
But
yeah, I did notice that your face looks a little red, but your gourd, the top of your gourd there is like
super white,
pasty white still. I know. Hasn't gotten that summer sun yet.
Yeah.
It's still spring. So,
dude, are you going to watch the eclipse next week?
I think I'm working during it.
Oh, dude, get some glasses.
So I might,
you'll be able to see it probably.
I might get some glasses and look at it.
Yeah. I'm going to try to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that I've ever really
seen an eclipse?
Seen one.
It's supposed to be like 90 some percent here, right?
Yeah, which is higher. I don't remember one that full of an eclipse here before.
I'm excited to see what it looks like.
Yeah. So yeah,
whatever.
I think you can buy some cheap glasses on Amazon.
The Amazon. With that 2-day shipping.
Yeah. All right, we got to talk. I want to talk about this. This is a super interesting case. This is officer. It's a Chicago.
Dude, Chicago's PD. The best, man. There's
Dude, I
so
love picking
much
on Chicago.
There's so much material in Chicago, man.
If you are a Chicago police officer and you listen to this podcast, God bless you.
Yeah, call us.
Literally.
Text us, call us, like give us some stories.
Yeah,
like, that would be awesome.
Direct message me on Twitter, like, or X, you know. Yeah,
what do they
get
call
on,
a
get
tweet
on Facebook.
Now? Like if you send a tweet.
I think it's still a tweet.
Dude, that's
but
weird.
Follow us on Facebook. Send me a message send the podcast page a message on Facebook.
Yeah, get us some inside information. We would love to
it's wild.
Laugh about it.
So anyways, this officer, Muhammad Yusuf, he's a 20-year vet of the department.
Old guy.
Yeah, he's been there a while. So when he got hired, you know, 20 years ago, they only had three race options on the application. It was white, black, and Hispanic.
Okay.
So he felt like white more closely resembled what he was. So he marked down white.
How many do they have now?
At least nine.
Nine.
So I don't even know what they would be.
What would they be? Oh, I guess it would be like Hawaiian would be one, right?
I'm guessing that's, Asian would be one.
I mean, it's not Hawaiian. What do they call it? Like, dude, I'm so dumb. I don't mean to offend anybody. I don't know what.
So anyways, but they have at least nine now on there. So he is filing a lawsuit against the department because they won't let him change his race. He wants to change his race right now to, I think, African-American or Egyptian. Yeah, it's Egyptian African-American. So okay. I guess he can change it to that now. Maybe okay. That's one of the, I don't know if Egyptian is one of the nine they have on there, but he
would it be like Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
African, Middle Eastern,
maybe like, but he,
is that a race though?
Or ethnicity. I think it's race or ethnicity.
Okay, yeah.
So he wants to change it, but they won't let him change it. And the reason he wants to change it is because he believes the fact that he is showing as white on department paperwork is causing him not to be promoted.
Oh man. So he's not promotable. He's just an officer. For 20 years.
And in 2019, he scored in the first promotional tier. So they have like a testing process and he was in the first tier in 2019 and he wasn't promoted. But meanwhile, since then, there's been 75 minorities that have been promoted. Some of them have been merit promotions, which is Chicago has this program where high-ranking officials can promote people or put people in for promotion to sergeant and lieutenant, even if they have not done well on the test.
Okay. Dude, that's great. Ah, my buddy. I'm going to get my buddy in here.
So he's saying that most of those merit promotions have been people that aren't white.
Okay.
Minorities. Many of them African-American, many of them who have done poorly on the test, some of them who have disciplinary problems and should have never been promoted in the first place. And he's saying because he's white, he keeps getting passed over. But he's not really white. He just marked white down because he only had three options when he got hired.
Yeah. And now there's nine.
Now there's nine. He's submitted a DNA test to them from 23andMe to prove his ethnicity
from this area
and his, you know, his race, and they still won't let him change it. Okay. And so basically in his lawsuit, he lays out that he doesn't understand why he can't do this when they're allowing officers to change their gender to match their lived experience. So he's basically saying that, hey, we have officers here who are changing their genders.
Okay.
To match their lived experience. And
so what does that mean? Their lived experience, like they feel
just
like
what
they're...
they feel like, what, oh, okay, what they okay. believe about themselves.
All right.
So this is the lawsuit. And
the federal lawsuit, or is it like local? Like
I think it's a federal lawsuit.
Yeah. Dude, they mess with a 20-year vet, man. These guys know people, like they've been in the department. So he knows who's who, like he kind of knows the runnings of it. Like,
I just think it's super interesting case. And I want to follow it. We always say we want to follow this stuff and then we forget about it. We go 2 weeks and we totally forget about it. But I think it's an interesting case. And I think he has a really interesting argument that not only based on the gender stuff, but he's actually submitting DNA
right.
to prove it. And they're still not letting him change it. And then if he has a case here regarding, you know, minorities are getting promoted that shouldn't be getting promoted and he's being passed over simply because he's white, I just think it's a super interesting.
Yeah, I wonder how that shakes out. I wonder why they're being so bullheaded about it. Like, why not let him change it? If he's not Caucasian, like, what's the big deal? Like, have him be Middle Eastern or whatever he wants to be, African, like...
What I find
Egyptian, like, who cares? If that's who he is, right?
What I find so interesting about it is that anyone capable of critical thinking saw this type of stuff coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
Because when you start approving of people just deciding who they are and what they are, like, this is what happens. This is what happens. Cause people are like, well, hey, wait a second. If this person over here can decide they're not a female anymore, they're a male. And if that person over there can decide they want to be a cat, and if this person over here can decide they want to be a bird, why can't I decide that I want to be black? And furthermore, I have DNA proof to prove that I am not Caucasian. I'm a different ethnicity.
Two completely different things.
Oh, they're two completely different things.
But you're saying logically, like, this makes sense.
Like, logically.
Yeah, why did it take so long for this to come up?
Yeah, logically, yeah. This makes more sense. His lawsuit makes more sense than someone, you know, filing a lawsuit and says, hey, I've been a dude for the last 20 years, but now magically I've decided I wanted to be a woman. Like,
I think it's funny that the department, like, let him change it. You still have to promote the guy. Who cares?
Right.
Like, department, like, it's so silly to me. Why, just let the guy change his gender. You still have to promote him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Now you've jammed yourself all up. Now you're getting talked about on Low Expectations. Like, now, you're probably in the news. Like,
to be clear, I don't know anything about this officer. This 20-year officer, he could be a train wreck. He could be a soup sandwich. I don't know.
If he tested in the top tier, like, he's
got
to.
Probably not. And he's been there 20 years. Like, you survived 20 years in Chicago without quitting or getting seriously hurt. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, it's. I recently saw this thing too. I saw a guy. I don't know if it was. He approached a panel of politicians. I should have looked into this more before I brought this up. But I think it's in a state or a county somewhere that they're not allowed to gamble on sports. They're not allowed to do sports betting. And he made a petition to this group of politicians to allow gambling, sports betting in the area where he lives, because he believes he can make a lot of money betting on males and female sports. I was like, this guy is brilliant. Like,
he's trying to capitalize.
He wants to capitalize on the fact that these dudes are going into women's sports and, like, just thrashing them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which wild, I think, man, is hilarious. You know, not hilarious, but, you know, the level of confusion right now in this world is unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
And it keeps growing and growing. And it just keeps expanding into more and more evilness. It's wild to me. And it should not surprise us. It should not surprise us. But, you know, yeah.
Wild times, man.
Wild times.
Dude, you can't even change your race after, like, when you put the wrong one in because you only had so many options 20 years ago. You can't even change it.
What do you think of AI? We still got a little time here.
AI.
What do you know anything about it? Like, what do you think about it? Like,
dude, I don't know enough about it.
Okay.
I mean, I've written a few letters to some friends through AI.
Really?
Yeah. Write a letter to my friend thanking him for something or whatever. And it comes up with this long, like, letter, and I sent it to him. It's hilarious. So, I'll send you one sometime.
So how do you just give the parameters? So is there, like, programs out?
Like, yeah, man, go to, like,
chat
GPT.
Okay.
And you log in. I don't even know if you have to log in, and you just say, write me a letter to Gary, my podcast brother, about how well we're doing and thank him for his time. And it'll just keep typing. It's like, you know, it appears, and you can change it up a little bit if you want or whatever.
So we're branching into it with the podcast. I didn't really even talk to you about this. I'm talking to you about it right now.
Okay.
But we're using AI. I think this episode will be the first one published with AI. So it'll go in, it takes out all my uhs and ums and dead space. It'll help with levels.
Is it going to get rid of this annoying like fan noise that's been the entire episode?
Well, we can hear it in our ears, but I don't think people are going to be able to hear it. Well, but hopefully it will.
Okay.
And then it also writes out the narrative.
How much do we have to pay for this?
It wasn't that bad.
Dude, you got to get approval, man. I'm like your sidekick here.
I just rolled in it. I was like, oh, I'll pay for this.
Oh, my goodness, dude.
but
just to see how it comes out.
I want to see how it turns out. I've tried using it a couple times and I kept taking a certain part of our ad out for Manny. So I changed something in that ad. It was kept taking the gun rack out. You know how it's like,
oh, it didn't like that.
Yeah. It was taking that out.
Yeah.
I think it just thought it was like background noise. So it took that out. So I changed it to something else and tested it, and it seemed to work. So I think this is going to be the same or the first episode where AI is used to like make it sound amazing. It's going to make us sound amazing, Gary.
Dude, that's awesome.
Or it's going to like go through, see what we talked about.
Fix our words that we shouldn't have said, make us politically correct.
Right. Yeah. And people will listen to the episode. It'll just be like, I'm Gary, I'm Anthony, and and like it won't have any other. It'll be like no content.
That'd be awesome.
And it's
dude.
Like closing music and an ad.
You better save it with output, run it through this AI generator, man.
You can do it, and then you can listen to it
side
or at least
by side,
spot check it, and see how it sounds. So
dude, that's incredible.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. So listener, if you like it, if it sounds better than previous ones, give us a 5-star review.
There you go.
An honest 5-star review. And then give us some topics. What do you want to hear us talk about?
Some people did reach out today about topics. They wanted
Why does everybody interact with you? Nobody interacts with me.
Because I'm on the socials.
Yeah, but some people know me.
Yeah. They wanted to know crazy calls we've been dispatched to.
Oh.
And someone wanted more of your thoughts on the border. They didn't want my thoughts. They wanted your thoughts. They thought you made a really good point about all the money we're sending to Ukraine.
Oh.
Which it was a good point.
I probably stole that from somebody. I mean, I don't watch the news, but like that just makes sense to me. We're sending trillions of dollars.
At least billions, if not trillions, to Ukraine to help them, keep people from taking over their country.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we have the floodgates opened here. So,
dude, has anything come out with that Baltimore cargo ship running into the
bridge? Still investigating it. There's all kinds of stuff floating around on the interweb about it.
Yeah, I think there's like some conspiracy theories, right? Yeah, like the owner of the boat was killed in a car accident like a few days before.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Oh, dude, I'm gonna do a deep dive. We'll bring that up next time, dude.
I don't want to get into conspiracy stuff.
If it's not if the owner was killed 3 days earlier, that's not a conspiracy.
Well, that's
theory.
Not a conspiracy, but.
But maybe that didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't looked into it at all, but yeah.
Dude, we crushed it, man.
You always say that at the end of a show.
I feel good about this one. Better than the border one. I don't think I was all in.
I was real tired, dude.
I was very tired.
I did all the talking for the border one.
You had a lot to say.
I was fired up for that one. Someone reached out to me about the border one real quick and made a really interesting point. They said, for a country who is systemically racist, there's sure a lot of primarily black and brown people that want to come here. Which...
Oh, as in like...
Our politicians beat the drum that this country is systemically racist.
But lots of
people
who
are
going to oppress are streaming in.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah.
Maybe our government's lying to us about that. Maybe they're just beating a drum that's not real. Maybe we actually aren't systemically racist.
Yes.
Like that might be the case.
I agree.
Man, I love it, dude.